We're going to read from the Gospel of John today, and we need to put it in context. And so I'm going to read the first few verses of John, just to remember who Jesus is and was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That summarizes what we will be reading about today. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. I'll ask Jeff if he'd come up and do the first reading, please.
Our first reading is John chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. John chapter 18, verse 14 verses. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus, the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And again they replied, "Jesus, the Nazarene." "I told you I am he," Jesus said. "And since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement, "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." And then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First they took him to Annas, since he was a father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at the time. Caiaphas was the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, "It's better that one man should die for the people."
Knew what he was going to be doing, what was going to happen to him. And he boldly said, "I am he." And the effect on those around was quite dramatic. And he had to ask again, "Who do you want?" And he said, "I am he." And at the same time, he cared for those of his disciples around him, making sure that they were all okay, even though he was going to suffer. Brian's going to come and continue the reading in John's Gospel.
So, John chapter 18, starting verse 28 now. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release for you one man at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber.
Pilate found no fault in Jesus. I trust that each one of us finds no fault in Jesus, that we can rejoice in his love and his goodness. His kingdom is not of this world.
Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.
Pilate repeated the fact that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus. But he didn't have the guts to stand up and be counted. If we love the Lord Jesus, I wonder if sometimes, despite the fact that we have no fault or see no fault in the Lord Jesus, we don't stand up and be counted. It's easy to hide, isn't it, sometimes, or to say nothing. And yet, Jesus, if he means everything to us, we should be able to stand up and be counted. Pilate was fearful of peer pressure. He was worried about what others would think. Are we sometimes worried about what others think about us? when we might make some rather queer statement to them in the fact that we believe in Jesus. We believe that he was the Son of God, that he was the creator of the world. Pilate thought he was in charge. How wrong he was. Jesus pointed out that he could have no power unless it was given him from above. Do we realize what power our God has? In one of my favorite hymns, it says, "His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. Out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." We've seen, if you like, with the takeoff of the rocket to the moon, an awful lot of power. And yet, so many people neglect the fact that the moon was placed there by our God. Sometimes, you know, like this week, we've had a bit of sun about, you know, 93 million miles away, and yet it's just the right amount for us. You go into a shadow and you feel the difference, and it's all that distance away. That's God's power. You know, he made the stars. He put them in place. And we need to remember that we've got a great, big, wonderful God who cares for us and loves us.
Taken up in John 19 from verse 13. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there
and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Thank you. John, if you like, doesn't go into much detail on certain things. He just said there was two thieves either side of Jesus crucified with him. Luke's gospel declares the fact that there was a different reaction from the two that were there on the cross either side. One mocked him and rejected him. The other said, "We've been guilty. This man isn't guilty of anything. Remember me when you come to your kingdom, Lord." I just wonder, where are we on that? Are we recognizing Jesus for who he is? Are we sure that we are going to be with him one day in glory? Or are we rejecting the Lord Jesus, neglecting who he is, and just, if you like, complaining, missing out altogether on eternity? I trust that each one of us will respond to Jesus' love. Pilate, in the end, at least acknowledged Jesus for who he was, even if he didn't have the guts to say so earlier on. At least he allowed that sign to go up. And whilst the others, the Jews, complained and said he said he was this, Pilate said, "I have written what I have written. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Do we acknowledge him as such? I'd like us now to read again, this time the concluding verses of John 19, if you would, please.
John's Gospel, chapter 19, reading from verse 28 down to the end of the chapter. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that the legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, "A bone of him shall not be broken." And again another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand.
At the end, after Jesus had died, two of his, if you like, hidden disciples came to take his body away and bury him in the tomb. Sometimes we can be like Nicodemus and Joseph. We can be secret disciples and people not aware that we belong to Jesus. In the end, they had to come out into the open. I trust that each one of us might not be just a secret disciple, but an active one, sharing the good news of the gospel with others around. I felt it appropriate that we might have a time of prayer now to remember what Jesus has done. So I'd ask anybody who would like to pray, feel free to do so. We got so much to thank God for. Let's just pray. I'll conclude.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can come to you in prayer. And Lord, we know that many prayers have just been uttered in silence. Lord, we pray that you will answer them as you see fit. But Lord, help us just to remember that you loved us and you do love us with an everlasting love. That we have been led by grace, that love to know. The Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me. It is so. Lord, we thank you for your death upon the cross. We're sorry that you had to go there, but that was the only way that sin could be overcome, by you leading a perfect life and dying in our place. Help us to ever be grateful, for we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.